Welcome to Realcast, the weekly roundup of the real asset markets. I'm joined by Nicole Dines, Paul Strome, and Ron van Blois. Nicole, let's start with you. What have you been watching over the last 7 days?
There have been some interesting bits of research. Eon Investment, a London-based investment manager, has done some research that shows that family offices, both in the US and in Europe, are increasingly turning to real estate in this sort of very difficult, you know, microeconomic climate. They're searching for yield and sort of long-term returns. And in particular, they seem to like residential real estate. It's probably proving to be the most popular asset class. And the report was pretty comprehensive. It was based on sort of a survey with 100 senior investment and wealth managers that work for family offices that sort of manage some more than $100 billion in assets under management. And the 9 out of 10 respondents said the family offices are definitely going to be diversifying even more into a sort of wider range of asset classes going forward. And also interesting, after COVID, there's sort of been more succession planning within family offices. And the younger generations are having more of a say. And they're all driving investment in sustainable assets. So that'd be an interesting aspect to watch. Another interesting piece of research was CBRE, that looked at the central London office market. And it's showing that in the first quarter of this year, there's been a real sort of a surge in investments, particularly driven by Asian investors. Volumes were 1.65 billion in the first quarter of this year, which is more than double the last quarter of last year, which was obviously impacted by higher interest rates and general uncertainty. In Q1, Asians accounted for 3/4 of purchasing activity and for all the deals over 100 million, such as the sale of St. Katharine's stock that we talked about. So it seems that the office sector in London has sort of touched bottom and is now rising again, which is good news. Changing countries and asset class. In Garbe, the logistics firm, has been very active in Italy and is pushing ahead with this first development project in Italy. Garbe opened an office in Italy in 2021, and since then it's been invested 230 million in buying property there, especially in central and northern Italy. But this time it's the first development and they want to do more in future, they said. It's an 83,000 square meters logistics park near Pavia, which is in Lombardy, not far from Milan. And they will be completed by November. So they're really pushing ahead with this. And they say that demand for grade A logistic assets in northern Italy continues to be incredibly strong, particularly if they're sustainable.
There's been a big focus on sustainability. We were obviously in Amsterdam, and I'll pick up that in a minute. But I saw as well a research report from Mike Phillips and the team there at BizNow looking at sustainability and real estate's efforts to cut carbon emissions, and quite a negative view on that. And certainly a huge amount of work to be done in that area. Paul, what have you been tracking?
Interestingly, Inca, the largest IKEA franchise, has been very active and is acquiring property. And you may remember that in October 2021, they agreed to pay £378 million for the former Topshop flagship store at Oxford Circus in central London. Well, last week, following the news that it's acquired the Green Oak Logistics Park in Dublin from Palm Logistics and development partner Jordanstown Properties, we had news that it had acquired a major Paris shopping centre. Inca Centres is part of Inca Group, and that's acquired the inner city shopping centre Italy Deux, together with a recent high street extension and a neighbouring office complex called Apollo, which is 18,000 square metres. The company will undertake an 85,000 square metre mixed use development or refurbishment, I think, and which will create a mix of retail, leisure and dining facilities designed to attract more than 11 million visitors a year. That'll unite the three assets as one of Inca Centre's urban meeting place schemes, and its first project in this format in France. The project will be Inca Centre's fourth urban meeting place acquisition. It's got live at Hammersmith in London and assets in Toronto and in San Francisco. Inca Centre is continuing to develop larger new build meeting places in markets such as India and China too. So that will be quite interesting to watch. The Irish Logistics Park is its first logistics investment, and that will house IKEA Retail, UK and Ireland's first Irish customer distribution centre. Inca said in a statement that the investment underscores its and IKEA's commitment to the UK and Ireland is a foundation for future expansion. There's been quite a few debt stories around too, and just a couple of examples. Asset manager Cheney Capital Management has provided a £150 million senior loan to a joint venture between Castle Forge and Malaysian partner Gamuda Berhad to fund the acquisition of Winchester House in the City of London. The new owners are planning an extensive refurbishment of the building, which is 29,450 square metres, which is a 75 London wall. And that will add critical mass and improve its sustainability, they said. Looking elsewhere, Tristan Capital Partners Episo 5 Fund has obtained a €52.3 million structured finance package from Berlin Hip to finance an office portfolio in Brussels. Interestingly, there, the five-year loan also includes a transformation loan to implement energy efficiency measures, and about nine million of the loan amount will be in the form of a green loan.
Yeah, a lot of focus on sustainability. And we were in Amsterdam, of course, this last week, Ron, meeting people, talking about some of the kind of key concerns there. A lot of focus as well on regulatory, Ron.
Yeah, definitely. I think parties are really struggling to become EU taxonomy compliant. So that's even beyond SFDR. And parties are now matching ESG targets, but also try to measure social impact. And of course, capital flows are also increasing their requirements on ticking the boxes of governance. So indeed, a lot of attention. I think also when you look at topics, they really try to not only measure on PropCo, but also the crossover with the OpCos. And I think it's really interesting when you compare it like the start of impact and now 18 months later, that also we're trying to measure climate impact, do risk analysis, do some risk management on that one. So also the spectrum is broadened quite rapidly into a value chain approach.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting as well, some of those meetings around not only the sort of climate risk side, which is obviously becoming far more important as people begin to drill down and look in more detail at this, but also, I guess, the kind of rating side as well, and how the EU may well, you know, the taxonomy may begin to, you know, influence how both the investors, but also the occupiers, look at the sort of sustainability labels that there are at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also a deep dive because next to environmental pressure and also the measurement, we're really trying to also make a valuation of sustainability. So next to green premiums, also the brown discounts are becoming more important. And I think also the capital flows are really feeling this pressure. So pension funds and also indeed the regulations are becoming more clear. And that's also one of our purposes from Impact, to create a level playing field, clarify definitions. And also that's the reason why we are in contact with the European Commission to, well, create a universal language. And I think we really need this to speed up this change.
Yeah, and I think speeding up the change is really important in terms of impact. On a personal side as well, I was very, as well as being very interested in what we heard from Saman and Reborn about the whole approach to circularity and some really interesting things happening there. It's the first time that I've ever been in a meeting with a large chocolate rabbit, and unfortunately, of course, did make some impact on that at the same time. Thanks very much, Ron. We'll be back in Amsterdam as well, picking up and following up on some of those meetings. Thank you for joining us, and look forward to seeing you next week for our regular roundup of the real asset markets.